I knew I couldn't function within my home. I knew I couldn't take care of my children, and I knew something had to get done immediately. I couldn't wait 30 days to a year for a medication to kick in. I had to get help right away.
A traumatic twin pregnancy had left Crystal Fulmer feeling hopeless, and the young mom and wife knew she needed help, and she needed it fast. She'll tell us her story about the whisper from God and how it changed everything. Episode 6 of the So God Made a Mother podcast starts now. Welcome. Hi, Crystal. We have Crystal Fulmer here. Hey, Leslie also. Leslie
means. Hi, Carolyn. Do you like it? I have to tell people that I really wanted Carolyn to start this one.
She did, and I'm so thrown off. I'm like, stop it. I don't even know what is happening in my life. I can barely put my pants on the right way.
It's so little things in life that gives me joy. And just being like, Carolyn, you start it.
He likes to just try. Yes. So here we are. Welcome. And we are so happy. Thrilled. What do we say? Pumped. All the
thrilled,
good words.
I think. Right.
Thrilled. We're just honored also to have Crystal Fulmer here today because she is sharing with us her whisper story as we're going on talking about a few more of those and all the impactful, just inspiring ways that has, these have been fun, right, Leslie?
We always say that we're reading all these submissions that came in and we get the goosebumps too. And so we know when we get that goosebump feeling, like we really want to talk to you about it.
Yes.
As well. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive in?
Yeah. So I am currently a homeschool mom of four. I have two in public school. And my husband's a pastor in the area. And I have written a book called The Grace of Getting Up about my story. And I would tell you my hobbies, but given four homeschool children, I really don't have any.
You're busy.
So I'm a little busy. So I love to write. I love to write, obviously, for Her View from Home. That has been kind of my thing since I wrote my book, is just submitting articles for you guys. I just, I love writing for your team. It's probably one of the most uplifting places I've ever been a part of. So it's been good.
Thank you for that.
And we love having you write too. Yes, yeah. We are. I see Crystal's name in my little inbox quite frequently. So it's a good thing. We like it. So Crystal, I think we kind of just want you to walk us through your story and the whisper that you had emailed us about.
Okay. All right. I will do that. So this, you can find the story in especially the first part of my book. But got to go back to 2013, a while ago. My husband and I had been married for 9 years. His goal, he graduated college with a ministry, youth ministry degree. His goal was to be the lead pastor of a church, but we had moved around quite a bit. He is a youth pastor, and I had my teaching degree. And so we had lived in a few states at that point in time. We'd also done some group homework. We lived with a bunch of teenage boys for a while when our first little boy was tiny. And before our first boy was born, I had had a miscarriage. That miscarriage triggered lots of OCD, anxiety, depression that I'm sure was generational. My husband and I both grew up in a Christian home. However, there was trauma there in both of our backgrounds. And so a lot of medical bodily OCD, a lot of worry throughout my pregnancies, that kind of thing. But we did end up having two children, a boy and a girl. And we ended up in West Virginia. At that point in time, he was a youth pastor of a church just across the river from the town that we now live in. And for the first time in years, I felt really good. I felt really, the therapy that I'd been in was working. I felt at peace. I'm still a bit isolated. When you move around a lot, you tend to get isolated and not be able to find that group, especially in an area like West Virginia, which we love. We love West Virginia, but, you know, people have been here for generations and generations raising their family. So finding that group to be a part of was difficult. But my husband and I decided that we wanted to have one more baby. And we got pregnant at the end of October 2013 with what we thought would be our third child. And it ended up being our third and fourth. And so we were thrilled and excited until we were told that they had what was called twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, which is basically two babies, two identical twins. It's about as close as you can get to being conjoined. Their blood vessels, they were sharing blood vessels. They were very kind of wrapped up in one another. And what twin-to-twin does is, I guess in layman's terms, one baby is growing way too fast. The heart's enlarging, all of those things. And the other baby is only receiving the bigger baby's waste. And so that baby is slowly weakening and dying. And of course, for someone that already had anxiety issues, OCD issues, this was heartbreaking for me. We ended up going to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. They told us they could do surgery and that everything would be fine. However, after a day of tests, ultrasounds, we were the 1% that they could not do surgery for. The blood vessels were way too intertwined with one another. And so they said, we're going to put you on this medication for their hearts. And we want you to come up every week and we'll monitor you. Basically, what we were looking at was one dying in the womb and one dying once they were born, or raising two very heavily needs children, like very special needs physically and mentally, emotionally, all of those, which was heavy. The unknown was extremely heavy. I was on bed rest, and every week we would go up little by little. Their bodies were failing. I mean, that's when they every week. And I remember getting up one morning, and I am pro-life for the most part, in the sense that any mom that would ever come to me and say, you know, I'm scared, I'm pregnant, what should I do? I would do anything to help that mother have her baby. And I found myself in a moment questioning whether we should end one of the twins' lives to save the other one. I just remember, you know, my husband was like, no, we have to have faith. We have to believe that this is going to turn out okay. And I was just so hopeless. I mean, I was praying and I was doing all these things, and I just felt like I was in the darkest place ever. And we got to the hospital that day and found out that Micah, we'd already named them, found out Micah had already passed. And that was not my God whisper yet, but that was definitely a moment where God said, hey, you know, I'm taking care of this, despite the fact that it was obviously heartbreaking and awful.
How far along were you, Crystal, then, when all this was diagnosed?
22 weeks was when we lost him.
Pretty early.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. And so we were told, you know, there is still a 30% chance that Elijah might stroke. He might have a stroke. But you can come back in a month and we'll do an MRI and see how he's looking. And so we did that. We went back and he was fine. What was really funny, and I felt like was totally a gift to us, is the day Micah passed, we went into the ultrasound room and Elijah peed for us on the ultrasound. And the tech said, I have never seen this in all my years of doing ultrasound. I have never seen a child pee on an ultrasound. So it was like, that was kind of his way of letting us know, I'm okay, mom. Like, right. I'm in here still. And but what ended up happening in those weeks between, I was induced at 35 weeks. We lost him at 22, is that I had to carry both of them. There was no way to go in and get him, or and we were told that there wouldn't be much to deliver, but of Micah, but still knowing that I had to carry him was extremely difficult. And so I ended up with just very high anxiety, didn't want to take anything, didn't want to, like, was trying to eat but couldn't eat, you know, all of those things, started to, you know, with our moves and everything that we'd gone through, I was a convenience mom. I was like, pop open the Gerber, you know, mm-hmm. like nurse as long as I can and then put a bottle in their mouth. Like I wasn't at all like the crunchy mom culture that we have around us now. And I remember during that time, like discovering that and beating myself up and thinking that what happened was my fault and that I had done the same thing with my other two kids and that something horrible was coming. Just all of these voices, these horrible voices in my head that honestly, I still struggle with sometimes today. I'm in a much better place, but we end up having him at 35 weeks, both of them. It was a very traumatic birth. Micah was not nothing. He was a full baby that we were told in the hospital we had to find a funeral home for, which we were not at all prepared for. And as soon as Micah was born, the cord got wrapped around Elijah's neck and they lost his heartbeat. And so the nurse was crying, we were all crying, and he finally came out and he screamed louder than any of my other kids, I think, to tell me again that he was okay. And he was in NICU for 9 months, perfectly healthy baby. So that was obviously a godsend, but just because things work out so miraculously does not mean that our emotions go away. It doesn't mean that those things change. And so I began to sink into an even deeper and deeper and deeper depression, blaming myself for the death of my child, feeling like I wasn't an adequate enough mom, having thoughts of if I just weren't here anymore, my husband could find a good mom for my kids. Just really heartbreaking when I look back on it, thoughts. Not getting out of bed led me to have to go to the hospital a couple of times because I just, you know, my husband always, when he tells this story to people, he says, you know, my wife moved constantly. I mean, she was always doing something. She was always, and I just couldn't move. I was paralyzed emotionally. And so I would listen to the voices in my head and I would have to go get help. And around the time Elijah was 4 months old, this is the God whisper, I was laying in bed and it happened again. I had already started medication. I had a therapist. I had a counselor. And I just heard all these horrible voices. And I heard Elijah crying. And I just laid there and I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And I wouldn't say that the whisper was gentle and kind. And I wouldn't say that it was mean and hateful. But there was a very stern get up that I heard. And it was like there was this, it was the closest that I have ever come to like feeling like I heard God's voice. It was in my head, but it felt audible. Just get up and trust me with the rest. And so I did. I got up and it has been, I've had horrible days and awful days, but I have gotten up every day since. That was 9 years ago. We now have a sibling set of three that we have adopted through the foster care system. My husband is now the lead pastor of a church in our area. I am now on the board of my homeschool group and I'm very active in the community and have told my story. And so my biggest goal in life at this point in time is to let other women know that they are not alone, that they are not alone in their struggles and in what they're going through. I think when you've been to the darkest places, you kind of want to sit in that and bring light to those who are there as well. So that is my grace and my encouragement and kind of what the Lord has done in my life. And I'm open to any questions you might have. I'm an open book. So.
Crystal, when you said the get up, I had those tingly. That, what did you feel in that moment when you heard get up?
it would be great to say that I felt like better all of a sudden, but it was just like, it was like this, okay. Like it was just kind of like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that. Wow, that was cool, but okay, fine. And so I did. But as the weeks went on, I continually, you know, sometimes those moments, those God whispers that we have, they don't really hit us how significant they were until weeks later. And we realize, had it not been for that, who knows? Who knows?
Hindsight, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you,
processing? Sorry. I'm like sitting here, not even saying anything because it's such a, it's just to put yourself in your shoes, which is what you, thank you for sharing your story, because that does help, I think, anyone who hears a story like that be able to relate in some way. And that saves lives. We've yes. seen that. We know that. So thank you for sharing that, because it's not easy yes. to talk about those things.
No.
I'm sure even now, because it's trauma and it's heartache and it's hard. We're supposed to have it all together.
Right. Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, and I will say that it was a 50-50 whether I was going to be able to keep it together today yeah. or not. Yeah. It's the grace of the Lord every time I tell it.
Right. Okay. So I like that, what you say about that, because the whisper stories, like, I don't want people to mistake that it's some like magic wand, you know, yes. God yeah. says, get up. And Crystal says, okay. And I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't happen. There are miracles all over the place. Right, and blah, blah, right. blah, blah, blah.
We joke but a lot. Like you didn't see, which we always have to be so careful with, but you didn't see God in a taco. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want people to be like, God showed up at your lunch that day. Like
and my toast that morning.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
it's very real and powerful.
And it required something of you.
Yeah.
It required you to be obedient. That I think is the other piece of it, that it's not like it was that magic wand, like get up and right. you were like, oh, suddenly I was lifted up, you know, and everything was la la beautiful, rainbows and yeah. unicorns. It required exactly. something of you. And that is, we've talked about this too, Leslie, with other people in this series, that's faith.
Yep.
And that's God's grace. That's mercy. That's faith.
Yes, absolutely.
God knew that your story wasn't over.
Yes, right.
Your story wasn't over.
Exactly. Yes. You know, we've walked through a season even with, you know, a biological daughter and an adopted daughter where they've had to seek counseling and they've had to do those things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, there have been powerful moments in just doing that, but there's not like that. We always want that immediate feeling of, okay, it's over. It's lifted off of me. It's done. And it really doesn't happen that way. Like it happens the way that the Israelites suffered and God answered and whined and God answered. And like it happens over the process of your lifetime, because that's sanctification. That's what we do. We walk this mm-hmm. road slowly but surely our entire lives.
When you had go ahead. Mentioned at the end and you'd said, you want women to know they aren't alone. If there is someone listening right now and they feel like they're in that dark place, what should they do?
I would definitely say to reach out. I would say to reach out to, you know, I personally am on Facebook at the Grace of Getting Up. I answer messages there. I'd be happy to talk to you. I'm not a licensed therapist, but I'd be happy to direct you to the help that you need. There are hotlines, suicide hotlines that you can call. There are people most likely, if they're here in West Virginia, then they're probably there in your community. We're outside of Charleston, the capital city, but even then, there is mental health help everywhere now. And so get on Google, look for someone somewhere that you can talk to. I think a lot of times we don't feel comfortable talking to the people that we're closest to. And you don't have to. You don't have to. There's people that you can call and talk to and tell your story to everywhere you look. But don't be afraid to reach out. I'm very much an introvert. And that was part of the struggle for me, was that it was hard to reach out. But I say do it, because you just don't know what God has in store for you.
Can I ask you, you mentioned, I think in your email too, that you were hospitalized a couple of times. Mm-hmm. How did you, get to where you could do that. That to me is brave to say, I need that kind of help. What was it like for you to say, I can't do this?
It was really desperation, to be honest with you. I knew that if I didn't get help immediately, I was hospitalized twice. The first experience was wonderful. The second one was awful, but I learned a lot. But I got to a place where I knew I couldn't function within my home. I knew I couldn't take care of my children. I knew I couldn't, and I knew something had to get done immediately. I couldn't wait 30 days to a year for a medication to kick in. Like I had to get help right away. And it breaks my heart. Stories that I've read of women who didn't go there and who lost their lives, especially during the postpartum period. And so I knew that I had two choices. It was death or go to the hospital, basically, for me mentally and emotionally.
Thank you for making that. Normal isn't the right word, but it is. It happens to so many of us. Mental health is a very big deal, and it happens everywhere. And that's what Carolyn and I talk about all the time, those stories that you're sharing, because of your bravery, you are helping other women across the country and beyond that you'll never know. Yeah. And God knows that. I mean, that's, again, part of your story to be here and sharing that so you can help other women. That is so huge. Mm-hmm. And how incredible is our God? Like, that is just.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of, we've talked about it in previous episodes. It's a big part of the Hervey Whisper.
Yep. Yes.
Is just sharing those hard stories because someone has to.
Yep.
You know? And so thank you for sharing with us, because that it reaches people you don't even know. So
yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us again about your book and where everyone can find you, and then we'll include those again in the show notes as well?
Yes, absolutely. So my book is The Grace of Getting Up. It is available on Amazon, westbowpress.com, and barnesandnoble.com. And it is a very, very short. It is not, one thing my publisher said was, moms don't need long books to read.
Accurate.
So, I like that.
Yep. So it's extremely short. But the first half is my journey through all the things, homeschooling, grief, loss, adoption, foster care, all of those things. And the second part are just lessons that I've learned and how to interact with our culture who has gone through a lot of those things themselves. And so, I would be honored if, you know, for anyone to purchase it. It is, I believe, $11.95 for a paperback in all of those places. And I would be blessed by anyone who decided to read it.
And social media too. We will put all of your links. Where can people find you online?
At The Grace of Getting Up, both on Facebook and Instagram. All one word. The Grace of Getting Up.
Thank you, Crystal.
Yes, no problem.
Thanks for being here. All right, Leslie, until next time.
The world needs your story.